right, everybody. Welcome back to Curb Your Podcast. My name is Axel. Curb Your Podcast is a part of the DVR Podcast Network. You can check us out at DVRpodcast.com. You know, we're six episodes in. This is our sixth episode, and we'd love to have some Patreon support. Go over to patreon.com/DVR. Send us, pitch in some shekels, as they say, as Mark Maron says. And, or you can give us a review on iTunes. Reviews help us out as well. It gets the party started. You can also check out all of our other great podcasts at DVRpodcast.com. We got a new podcast this week from Thaxton talking about some anime, talking about Rick and Morty, talking about, White Famous, a new show on Showtime. DJ Tim Hines, got a lot of stuff going on. But let's start this show. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good.
Doing good?
Good.
Doing good. Hey, did you get up at the comedy store? Well, you're not trying to get up at the comedy store anymore. Did you start your improv class?
No, I didn't try to get on at the comedy store. I don't start my improv class for a couple weeks. But I did go to an open mic last night here in LA, and it went okay. It was like a little place called Echoes on Pico. Not a lot of people there. Just wanted to point something out. I've noticed something. When a male comedian is bombing on stage in LA, I've noticed that they will throw out the phrase, "I got a big dick." And that's the joke. So,
are you serious?
I this guy did it last night, and I was like, man, that's not even original. Not only is it terrible, it's like not even original.
I have one thing to tell that dude. Bad timing, bro.
Yeah.
You know,
really bad.
Yeah. Consult your agent on that dumb joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's better. You know, why can't you just say, like, my mom laughs when I make jokes? See, you laughed at that, right? It's sweet.
Yeah,
it's
like
funny.
That.
And it disarms the person, right? It disarms you. I like that. See, that's what Larry would do. He would disarm you.
Speaking of Larry, did you see his set on SNL?
I did. Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Okay, we can get to that.
What do you think? What do you have to say about it?
I thought it was fine.
I thought it was fine too. I thought it was
fine. I thought it was funny. Like, it wasn't like, you know, some people have like killed in their monologue, but Larry doesn't do a lot of stand up anymore. I know that he was, he did some sets at the Comedy Store over the last few weeks. So I know he was preparing for it. But I thought it was fine. Like, I heard another comedian say Larry David is not funny. I was like, you just dealt in an absolute there. You just said Larry David is not funny. He's one of the most successful TV producers. He has like two of the most successful comedy shows ever.
Yeah.
And
which he wrote too.
Right. And so like he hardly ever does stand up. So he basically did stand up for his monologue. And I thought it was fine. I thought the material was fine. I thought he was funny. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I think people who got upset about the concentration camp joke need to get over themselves.
Yeah, I was waiting for when the bad joke was coming. Literally, I'm not joking. I being on the West Coast, we get it later. Right. So even though they fucked with us, because like the premiere was at 8:30, but now it's back to 11:30. I don't get it, but I don't know. I don't understand what they're showing on Saturday night that gets better ratings in L.A. or so, I don't know. But yeah, man. I mean, look, it's Larry David. Come on, like this whole show. This is why I love Curb, because, like I said before, I'm a very liberal guy, and I am. You know, I'm a fan of respecting people, but Larry has a methodology that I believe kind of breaks through that PC, non-PC thing. And it's humor and it's comedy, and a lot of it's self-deprecating. Perhaps some people may have forgotten that he's a Jew,
mm-hmm.
You know, so he can, you know, And Jewish comedy has a long in a, the United States had Holocaust jokes.
Long, I have Holocaust jokes.
Yes, long time. Okay, come on. I mean, look, this is like people who, like, after 9/11 happened and somebody made a joke, they were throwing them off the air or something. It's like, look, there's a difference. And it also depends on the joke. He was telling a story with a framework as a concentration camp. He wasn't making, he wasn't siding with the Nazis. Yeah. You know I mean? Like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, he was trying to, he was bringing you to a place that humanized and created humor, but then afterwards would probably make you think a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to love Larry. Yeah. People are going to get upset. That, I mean, we do. I mean, look, we live in a complaint culture and I'm a part of it too. And, you know, I mean, as I have talked about, if you're a DVR podcast, Patreon, you got my special Patreon only podcast. I talked a little bit about yesterday, just, you know, I mean, you stretch things and you got to have a line, and Twitter and Facebook, we're all learning how to use it. And a lot of our first inclination is to get on there and complain about something. I'm guilty of it too, you know, and we do kind of live in a complaint culture and it will grow. We just have to move through it. You know,
whatever happened to like just like turning the other cheek or like just ignoring people? Like, people now anymore, they get up in arms about everything.
I know, but I kind of like it, Sean. I see it as an evolutionary thing, and social media and the internet and technology is affecting us in ways that we do not yet understand and perhaps won't for generations. And I think that it's good if you see everybody doing it, you kind of, you know, sometimes we all join in, but it's also maybe take a step back and look at it unemotionally, right? And you just kind of see a society dealing with a new form of communication. And it gives voice to people in positive ways, but also, obviously, as we've seen, in negative ways. So you just kind of got to wade through it and see what you get. But yeah, I mean, that didn't last too long. It's not, HBO didn't pull the show. We didn't lose any gigs. He didn't, you know what I mean? Like,
so
people are going to complain, you know, let them, they'll complain and then they'll move on to something else. And maybe the next thing they move on to is something that's actually worth complaining about, you know?
Yeah.
But, let's get into the show, baby. I really like this episode. I thought this episode was a lot of fun. And I especially want to point out again that I felt the end kicker wasn't forced this episode. I really liked it. This episode had a kind of meandering pace and people coming in and out of it that I just enjoyed being in the world. And I felt there was a few things, again, it was 40 minutes, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty funny. And I love Ed Begley Jr. I always love that guy.
Which guy is that?
Ed Begley Jr. He was their golf buddy. You know, the doctor?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So what did you think? What's your overall thoughts about this ep?
I liked it as well. I mean, I laughed. I like the themes, the accidental text, which is genius. I think that I've actually, you know, he said that he invented it, but I actually think that I've used it before. So invented it, but that was good. And I like the your water sucks.
Yeah,
your water sucks. I thought that was great. But I liked, I mean, I guess we'll get to it, but that actress from Big who was in the episode, she was great.
Oh, like her. Oh, Elizabeth Perkins.
Yeah, she was great.
She's she's a great actress. She's done so much. She's got so much talent and what a resume. Yeah, when it came time for me to say it's Elizabeth Perkins, I just said I'm not even going to name all the stuff she's been in.
Yeah.
Because she's just got a resume longer than my all 6'4" of me.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it, brother. So We start out, Larry's watching I like this little thing. He's in the hotel room. He's late for the plane, watching a Sophia Loren movie, getting excited. The lady at the desk won't let him on. And then he gets on to the next flight and he has to sit coach. And I thought the little thing between him and the, is she a flight attendant? What do you call that person? A desk attendant? What's the proper title?
Oh, no, not a flight attendant. She would just be, I don't know what she would call her. She would just be an airline rep. That's a great point.
Airline rep. Okay, airline rep.
I've gotten to a plane before when the door was closed and they, not the plane door, but that door. And it was actually one of the best experiences of my life because I got there and they had given my seat away and all they had left was first class. So I had to sit in first class.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, man. I've got, the first class part was like, I mean, we've had there's been like 4 or 5 episodes with Larry on a plane. They did that whole episode where he had to sit and coach. And then we have the whole Seinfeld coach episode. Mm-hmm. So this is a funny thing. I mean, we've all had that experience. You know, we all want to sit in first class.
You know what I thought? I thought that, like, in, like, old Curb, I felt like he would have had the middle seat. And, like, he would have, like, come up with some bullshit to sit in the outer seat. It would have been him.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point, man. That is a good point. I think it's hilarious, man. So my father taught me a secret about getting first class seats on an airplane. Do you want me to tell the secret to you and everyone listening?
Yes, please.
Okay, here's the secret.
I fly.
Here's the secret. Dress nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dress very well, like business nice. Before get there early, go up to the counter, tell them your name, present your ID, and then say, I'm thinking about moving up to first class, but I'm not quite sure. Do you have any seats available? They'll look, and if they say, oh, there's one or two seats, they go through the whole rigmarole with them, you know? How much does it cost? Just talk to them. Oh, man, that would be awesome. Then when they get to it, just go at the end, just say, you know, that's great. But maybe I'll do it on my way back. You know, it's a little bit more than I'm willing to spend today. Then go sit down. I've done this. I've gotten first class from doing this 4 times. Because what happens is if there is first class seats left on the plane, they're supposed to try to upgrade people that will then they're trying to upsell you. Right.
Yeah.
Give you a freebie. So what they'll do is they'll let you ride, go first class down. Then on the way back, you'll get all these emails trying to upgrade you to first class.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got first class to, Amsterdam, Ecuador, LA, Miami. Oh, I think New Orleans too. All from like LaGuardia or JFK, all from New York. But yeah, little trick there. Because it's just like a little social engineering, you know? And then, of course, yeah. I didn't buy the first class on the way back. But they didn't get mad at me. Little trick from Axel, baby. All right, so Larry gets on the plane. It's the usual shenanigans. He sits down. It's Ed Begley Jr. I love Ed Begley Jr. I absolutely love her. Love him, her. He's just, the way he is, he just always makes me laugh, that guy. I remember him back on St. Elsewhere. Remember that?
Never saw that.
Oh, yeah. He was great. So they're sitting there. They're talking. He's a golf buddy. And then here comes a woman to sit with them. This is an actress named June Diane Raphael. She is actually Paul Scheer's wife. The reason I mention this is because Paul Scheer is on a show called The League. And we all know Jeff Schaefer created the league and has been writing this whole season with Larry. So we have another league person coming in. She's been on the league a bunch of times too. She wants to sit on the aisle because of her bladder. And then she goes through her whole routine of being the most annoying passenger to sit next to on a plane. I hate planes, by the way. This whole thing made me kind of nervous. I'm not good with flying. I get incredible anxiety from flying.
Really?
Incredible. I'm not claustrophobic. I'm people phobic. If I'm on a plane and it's empty, I'm fine. I just don't like being all those people around me.
Yeah. Planes are disgusting.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't mind it. I've been on flights where I've been by my, like an empty flight, and which is a very rare these days. And I felt great, but it's just that feeling of being trapped in an uncomfortable place for hours.
Yeah, you're a big dude too.
Yes, thank you. I am. I'm a large dude. I am 6'4", 250 pounds. That is how big I am. so then there, that's my football card. So a passenger gets sick on the plane while they're flying, but Ed Begley won't help. And Larry's like, "You're a doctor. Why won't you help?" He says, "If I help this guy, it becomes a medical emergency and they've got to ground the plane. What do you want to be sitting in some hotel eating pretzels all night or something?" Which is kind of, you know, I mean, he's the doctor. I would trust him. But Larry was a little upset about it. He says he's going to take a pass. What did you think about this?
I think that, like, they're required. Like, if they need a doctor, they're required to do something. So actually, I think what he did is against the law.
Maybe not.
I could be wrong.
I don't think the Hippocratic Oath is a legal oath.
No, it's not, but I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny how he didn't want to help at all because, I mean, he still could have been like, oh, this is not really an emergency, but it's really tying into what's going to happen later. So, like,
I know, it's great. He's off duty.
Yeah, which is like a theme that, like, always, remember when, God, what season was it when Larry, I don't know, when he went to the doctor and he would talk to the doctor in the bathroom. Oh, this is the doctor who wore the thong on the beach. You know what I'm talking about?
And we're back. Sorry about that. We had a little dog barking. So, Sean, do you remember where we were? Or should we just continue?
We were talking about how Ed Begley Jr. didn't do anything.
Oh, yes, yes. So, yeah, I think I thought it was kind of funny. But then again, I kind of saw where he was coming from. I mean, you got to have a break when you're a doctor, you know? You're a nurse. You work long shifts. Look at you, Sean. You work like 20 hours in a row or something.
Oh, my God. I get so tired on my days off. I'm still tired. I got to go back tomorrow. But I don't know. Like, I was talking about, remember, like, the doctors don't want to work outside their schedule. They don't want to give people advice. But I was talking about, remember when he had the therapist with a thong?
And
he would talk to him in the bathroom, and he's like, you know, I think I'm gonna take Cheryl up to Malibu or whatever. And then he wouldn't say anything to him outside of, like, the office, outside of their hour.
Yeah, I do remember. I think you know what? I think this probably, I would guess that if I would love to hear an interview with Larry where somebody asked this. But I would guess that it probably comes from his own life of people walking up to him and asking him to be funny all the time.
Possible.
You know, that's like when you meet a comedian, oh, make me laugh. It's like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I never do that to people, man.
I always say, just come to a show.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Dude, I've met so many famous people in my life. I mean, I had the opportunity, of course, to work in New York on TV and film and in LA. And I met through my dad's business, met so many famous people. I'm just the opposite of a star fucker. I have no interest. Unless I have actually something to talk to them about, I don't want an autograph. I don't need a picture. I just don't give a fuck. I really don't. I just don't care. I don't care. The only person I've ever waited in line to talk to is Stephen King. And I was 15 and I had a great conversation with him about writing and his and the difference between why he chooses to make something into a short story or a novel. We talked for like 25 minutes. He was an incredible person. And I just said, thanks a lot, man. Your work has meant a lot to me. And he said, well, it's been great talking to you. And that was it. So unless I'm going to have a conversation with somebody, I don't have any interest in like star fucking.
Yeah. I met this guy, Bob, who was the bachelor on ABC.
Oh, my God. Not that one. He was the worst.
Yeah, he was the worst.
The worst.
And I just he started talking to me, and I just completely ignored him. And then you know who I met a couple years ago? I met Wanda Sykes.
Oh, really?
I did. So it's kind of a funny story because I was in L.A. visiting, and I was out here with a friend's band. And this guy, through people he knew a guy that worked on The Tonight Show when it was Jay Leno's. And we were guests of The Tonight Show. We weren't, like, he wasn't on the show.
Oh, I remember this. You were making that documentary, right?
Right. And so we were out here and, you know, we're guests of the show. We're hanging out backstage. We meet Jay. And, like, we're walking out the back door, and Wanda Sykes was the guest that night. And we're walking out, and she's right there. And my friend, Jason, he's really personable. He's like, oh, hey, Wanda, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, can we get a picture? And, like, so he gets a picture, and then, like, someone else gets a picture. And then I was like, all right, sure, why not? I'll take a picture with Wanda. And then, like, as soon as I walk up to take a picture with Wanda, and it's just our group. It's only, like, it's, like, six or seven of us in our group. And the guy, her bodyguard, like, puts his hand on my chest. And he's like, no more. Wanda's got to go. Like,
oh, my God.
I was like, ah. Like, I was like, I didn't even really want it. Like, yeah. I was just like, all right, everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, you can't blame him. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. I mean, we're getting a little off topic, but, like, people got mad at, like, some Stranger Things kid for not stopping for an autograph, or they get mad at sports stars or something. It's like, get a life. Who gives a fuck? And anyway, if you're pushing your kid to go get people's autographs and be a star fucker, that's your problem.
Yeah.
For real. Like, I mean, like, maybe you could tell your kid that that's a person who has a job and they work for a living. Yeah. But you know, we could get, wow, man, what I'm getting all, come on, let's get back to the fun stuff with Larry, man.
All right.
Come on. So we get a great, Larry has a little skirmish, I think her name is Phoebe on the show, who later becomes Funk's lady. No, not Funk's lady. I'm sorry. He becomes Bagley's lady. Then they arrive, he arrives home to Leon, and his car's got "Wash Me" written on it. I like this scene. See, this is what I'm talking about with Curb. I could have, again, don't want to complain, but I could have had five more minutes of this scene with Larry and Leon talking about Sophia Loren, and they have a nice walk and talk where you know, they got the camera on like a freaking Steadicam. And they're walking down, talking up while they're walking into the house. The whole bit about, no, you wash it. I like that. You wash it.
Yeah. That was funny.
It's just like that little stuff. You know what I mean? That's why I love Leon. Because he could just say something in a different way and make you laugh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Larry's hanging out with the Funk Man and Jeff at a dinner party. It's at Funk Man's new girlfriend, who's Elizabeth Perkins. He tells the story of Ed Bagley not helping. Jeff says, I'd still play golf with a reprobate. I like when Larry brings out old words like this too. Like, people don't call people reprobates anymore. Mm-hmm. That was on Seinfeld too, if you remember. There was a whole, episode, I don't remember which one it was, where, Jerry kept on saying reprobate. And I don't understand golf talk. Do you understand? I this whole thing where they're like, you're slow. I don't get it.
A little bit. Cause I guess like it's just courteous to play golf at,
No, I mean, I get it, but I'm not a golfer. So it doesn't like, it kind of goes over my head, you know?
Oh, like people who take forever to line up their shot. Like, I mean, I'm not a golfer either, but I have been, so.
Oh, I've never been golfing.
Really?
Grew up next to Baltus Row Golf Course in New Jersey. Worked the U.S. Open twice. Never golfed.
It's just people. Some people take forever to line up their shot. That's all.
Yeah, don't they? A lot of people take forever. But then, then we have a great Susie enters. Every time Susie comes onto the screen, I just laugh. I just start giggling because I love her so much. She says, "Jeff's got to take me to the airport." Because to say goodbye. I hate this shit. My wife went through this with me a little bit when we were living in New York. She said something to me like, "Will you go with me to the airport?" I said, "I love you. I'm not going to the airport. I'm not taking you to the airport. You can go to the airport by yourself."
Which airport and where were you living?
We were living in Inwood and she was going to JFK.
Ooh, that's a haul.
No shit. That's why, yeah. I said to her, "You know what, honey, how about this? I won't buy some weed this week and you can take a cab, you know?"
Oh my God.
Just take a cab. I mean,
you can't, like, the most you could have done is, like, you could have taken the A or C train to Howard Beach.
Oh God, please. I'm getting nervous just thinking about it.
Did you just hide your wallet?
Oh my God. No, I mean nervous as in being stuck on a subway. I hate subways, man. I hated subways when I lived in New York. It's that people thing again, Sean. I don't like crowded places.
No, I was just going to say, you can't, unless you have a flight, you can't get into the actual airport.
I think this is kind of like, they're pushing it a little bit with this one, because I think this is generally people don't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of a nicety that's fallen away. But I love Susie. So then Larry and Susie have a great argument where he's just like, "You're just a Jew from Brooklyn."
Yeah.
I love
that. No, the Bronx.
The Bronx. That's right. The Bronx. She's like, "Fuck you, Larry. Fuck you." Love it. Then we see Richard Lewis is there too with his date. And this actress is Andrea Savage. I love her. She's on a show called Episodes on Showtime. She's been popping up in a lot of stuff lately, and I'm really glad to see that because she's got a really great comedic timing, and I really love her. I think she's fantastic. I don't know. I see her, and I see someone who could be a big star. I don't know. I've just always felt that way about her. Lewis gives her kind of a preemptive honey, you know? "Hey, honey." I don't know. I'm bad with that, man. Cause I really wait a long time to say anything like that. How about you, Sean?
I typically, like with my last girlfriend, we used babe.
Babe.
We didn't use babe. Honey.
Yeah.
And she started it.
She started it. So at dinner, they're sitting down for their dinner. You know, this is going to be a travesty because it's a dinner party and Larry's there. Larry won't clink the glasses. I clink. I'm a little obsessive, so I try to clink everybody. Are you a clinker?
Man, I got to tell you, sometimes, like, I really just don't want to clink.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I know, but I do it. It's just me. Once I see people do it, it's like I have to clink with everybody.
Yeah.
You know? So then Larry picks up a knife and starts this whole routine about a stabbing range. It was kind of dark, but I liked it. He was having fun.
I liked the idea too. I mean, I think that was completely spontaneous.
Me too. I agree that this was just a fun little improv that they just kept. Well, that's the whole show, but I like that. I liked it.
It was kind of weird though, because he's like, where you could just like stab all these dummies.
Yeah, like that's fun. Funk's girlfriend is not happy, Elizabeth Perkins, and she tells Larry he has no filter, and that's because Larry was saying the water has no filter. Now, I have to come out in support of Larry here. You know, you can taste it. You can taste it.
Yeah. I don't know. It was funny. Wait, who said it first, though?
I think it was Jeff. Because he wasn't drinking his water and Susie said something.
I don't remember, or did she say you have no filter? And he goes, apparently you don't, or was it the other way around?
No, he mentioned the filter first.
He mentioned the filter.
Right.
He said, you don't have a filter?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't have a filter. That's right. He said, I'm surprised you don't have a filter. And she was like, just like you, you have no filter, or something like that.
Yeah, I liked it, man. I like, you know, I have to admit, I'm Britified.
I don't have a filter.
Yeah.
But I don't entertain anyone, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, how's that LA water?
Ah. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, man. Well, we all saw Chinatown. Elizabeth Perkins isn't having any of it. Then she leaves the room and Larry keeps on making fun of her. And the Funk Man can't really even stomach the water. She comes back. She hears Larry making fun of her. Chaos ensues. Larry bids them an adieu. He gets kicked out of another dinner party. Larry should just stop going to dinner parties.
Right before Funk totally bullshit his way, he's like, the water's great. Remember, she made him drink
the
water.
He's like this, the water's great. I really like it. I don't know. I have this, they've dropped the fatwa stuff.
Yeah, it is weird.
They've really dropped it and it's not mentioned again. And I feel like they're coming upon a different theme. I mean, this is a theme of all of Curb, but I don't know. I feel like maybe they're headed towards like a Seinfeld ending here. I just feel like Larry's being like, people are really ostracizing him more this season. He's always ostracized. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens. So we have a cute little skit here, you know, a little scene where Larry's driving his car across past a busload of kids and they see bald fuck below me written on it. And they start yelling bald fuck below me. And Larry kind of, I think he gives him the finger and keeps on driving. I like that little scene. Then we come up to Richard and Larry are talking at a restaurant. Of course, Richard Lewis has the good seat. I noticed that. Andrea Savage arrives. And as Larry had instructed him before she arrived, just call everybody honey. And she'll think it's just the way you talk to people, right? It was honey, right?
Yeah.
And so
Richard Lewis overdoes it.
Yeah, overdoes it just slightly. Enough that they use a montage, right?
Yeah.
And this was all right. I mean, it was kind of funny, but I kind of got it the first, you know what I mean? Like it was.
I think it would have been funnier if he just used it like three times in a row.
Yes.
And then like you could see on her face that, cause she was clearly like there to like break it off with him.
Yes.
And then I think it would have been funnier if they didn't overplay it so much. And then like you see her change her mind right there.
Yeah.
I think that would have been funnier.
I agree. So now we get to the next scene. Larry and Jeff are eating at a golf club. I guess this is a different club because Larry was thrown out of the other one. Oh no, he got back in. That's right. I forgot. He's back in the club. They should have made reference to that. They should have had Mr. Takahashi walk past him or something. They're eating at the club. Jeff says he can't go to a Rams game. Now, this I found to be the most ridiculous and funny part of the show as a football fan. Sean, have you ever seen anyone in Los Angeles walking around with a Los Angeles Rams hat, paraphernalia, or saying they were going to a Rams game?
I have seen one person wearing a Rams.
Yeah, that's what I thought. One person. That's what I thought. Because I don't think most people think that. How long have they been there? This is their second year now, right? That they're back.
I think the first year.
No, they were back last year.
They were?
I'm pretty sure that they were back last year.
I wasn't here at that point, and I'm not a huge NFL fan or anything, but.
Goff only played in L.A. Goff only played in L.A.
I talked to my Uber driver about this, actually, and he said that the Rams and the Chargers are the two most expensive tickets in the NFL. So a lot of people won't go for that reason.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The NFL, I mean, everything's become so expensive. But I used to go to Jets games and the tickets were $15.
I think that's how much they are now.
Oh, nice one, Sean. Nice one.
Sorry. Oh, couldn't help myself.
This is my dog heard me talking, so she barked a little bit at you, Sean. She's mad at you. So he can't go to the game. And Larry has a good suggestion, which I have to admit I've done this before. I think we all have. Larry suggests the name of the episode, The Accidental Text on Purpose. And it works on Susie, supposedly. Have you ever done this before, Sean?
I think I have. And
I've done it.
I told you earlier, but he said in the episode that he invented it. And I was like, I think I invented it.
Yeah, yeah. But tell me when you did it.
Oh, years ago.
Okay, see, this is the difference. This is the difference. And this is where, not to be too picky, but it shows Larry's age maybe a little bit, right? This really worked a lot better before iPhones and, like, it was so prominent who you were sending the text to. You know what I mean?
Back in the day.
When you used to have to scroll through a list of people, choose them, write the text. Right, like on your own Motorola phone or something, but now
hitting a button like 10 times just to get the right letter,
and it was so small, right? Right, and when you had to like hold down shift to get to the numbers, stuff like that, if the youngsters out there remember. But yeah, I have done this, but it's been a long time. It's been a long time. I think I may have done it as a joke with my wife or something, you know. But it is kind of funny. These guys, this is what I wanted to bring up again. I love these scenes of these creepy old guys hanging out together because it is all written to make fun of themselves. And they're just like a bunch of teenagers. This is like when people say that, you know, venereal disease is like exploding among people over 65. Right? And then this show is like the proof. You know? Like, look at Larry and his buds. They're all divorced. They're all sad sacks. They all have, like, the minds of teenagers. And they're all just desperate to get laid.
I don't know. I mean, is Larry really desperate to get laid? I don't think so.
You know, I think it's a little desperate sometimes, Larry.
He's a little lazy.
You know, he's lazy, but then sometimes his technique is little shifty. So they go out to golf, and Ed Begley sucks at golfing. So that was a bad foursome choice, I guess. Is that what they call it, a foursome? And then Funkhauser starts saying that Elizabeth Perkins is still mad at him about Larry. So Larry says, do the same thing that Jeff did, and it works. Then Larry sinks his putt, and he's like a champion of the world, right?
Yes.
But then Ed Begley gets a text, a lot of texting in this episode, or maybe it was maybe somebody got it, hit him on his beeper, and he's got to run out on the golf game. And Larry's like, oh, that's an emergency. But when you're losing money because we bet on this game, you're running out. So Larry doesn't buy it. He looked kind of worried to me.
Yeah.
I believed him.
It's $200. He didn't want to lose the $200.
Yeah, like Larry doesn't have $200. Then we go, let's see, where am I here? So let's see. Now we cut to Larry walking into Neiman Marcus because he had mentioned before to Andrea that he wanted to get some new pants. So Larry and Andrea are getting pants. She compliments his honesty about the water. But then she stays in the dressing room and Larry doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of hilarious.
Yeah. And
it reminds me of a funny thing that happened to me, Sean. I went to a doctor. My wife and I were attempting to have a child. And my wife is a research scientist and the like. And she said, we should both get checked out. You know what I mean? like, you know, check your boys and whatever, right? So I went to the doctor's office.
Urologist.
I'm sorry, urologist. And she was beautiful. I mean, absolutely stunningly gorgeous. I mean, look. I have
female
urologist. She's a doctor. I have respect, but I'm still a human being. She was gorgeous. And it made me nervous, okay? Because I was worried about what happened to Larry. And later in the episode, now that didn't happen to Larry, but this could be a Curb episode. But what happened is I'm standing there and, you know, she's feeling my nuts. And, I thought that if I looked down and kind of watched her while she was doing it, it would seem more clinical. But then it turned into something really creepy because it's like, you get what I'm getting at here, man? It's like I'm watching her. Dude. It's like I'm I don't know. It was very strange, dude. It was like a Curb episode. And I noticed I was doing it and I like looked up. You know what I'm saying? But I thought later that there was some part of me that it's like you inadvertently do the thing you don't want to do. You know what I mean? So yeah. Larry's in this dressing room and he just felt kind of like he wasn't getting off on it. He didn't want to be rude to her because she just complimented him, you know? And then in effect, what does it turn out? It turns out that he's the one who turns into the pervy guy. So that's my story about getting my nuts touched, Sean. How did you like it? Very good.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that like you had to like give a sperm sample and she stayed in the room.
Oh my God. No.
That would have been more interesting.
I know. See, it's that tells you how like how cautious I am as a human. Just I think about other people. It's just I just felt weird that I like looked down. You know what I mean? I don't know. I felt like, I felt like it was like the male gaze on myself in a situation. It was just very confusing.
At least you didn't put your hand on top of it.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Exactly. It was just very.
Oh.
And I, of course, I had to tell my wife as soon as I got out of the doctor's office. It's like she touched my balls and I looked, honey. And my wife was like, who cares? I was like, it just felt weird.
Yeah, it's funny.
You know, it's just a weird situation, man. Life. But I forgot the part. Did I say that he walks in, he pushes the lady down when she tries to spray him with the with the perfume? I hate that shit, man.
I have never been in a Neiman Marcus. I've never had anyone do that to me, but I get it.
I've had it and I hate it. I hate the spray, but it was very violent though. I don't know. I'm like, I don't like violence doesn't usually make me laugh, but the way he kind of did it and he was so scared, it sold it, you know? And
well, it was weird because he threw her on the ground and then just like walked away.
Yeah, he looked so shaken because it made it looked like he was the one that something bad had happened to. So you know what I mean? Like he was so offended, and then she just kind of gets up and she's like, "I was just spraying you."
Yeah.
So
I thought they kind of like it was like it, I mean that could have been something right there, but they just skipped right over it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they're packing a lot into these episodes, man.
Yeah.
So Larry's at home. He breaks his shoelace, but I would do the same thing he does. You just got to rejigger it so it's just a shorter shoelace. So Funk enters with Leon. He tells him that Elizabeth Perkins saw the push at Neiman Marcus. She hates Larry now. It's him or her. And Funk took her. Larry says, I understand it's not easy to find people to have sex with us.
Yeah.
I love this scene. See, again, I wish this scene could have gone on for 20 minutes. The way Funk is like, I'm not going to be the last one to say goodbye. You say goodbye. I'll say goodbye. It was just really, I thought it was really funny, man. And the way even the walking backwards and hitting the pots as he walks out. Mm-hmm. It was just a great touch, man. It was a great touch.
Yeah, I loved it too. Like it was kind of like they were trying to have the last who was going to have the last word.
Yeah,
and how he chose her over him. Yeah, it was great. I just liked the whole, yeah, knocking the thing at the end was great. Yeah. I love that scene too.
It was fun, right? See, that's what I'm saying, man. I like it. So Larry gets a text. He has to pick up his pants now. He's got to go back to that awkward situation. And then that makes kind of Larry realize, this is the text, I should say, comes in the middle of this scene. And it's interesting because this rarely happens in Curb, where there's actually a kind of a growth within the scene where Larry subtly realizes that he had a choice and he chose his friend, and Funk is choosing the, like, he kind of reverses himself, you know? Mm-hmm. I like this. This was like a subtle touch. It was kind of deep for Curb, and I really liked it. So Larry picks up the pants. He doesn't want to try them on. She forces him. Then Leon sends Larry a text of Sophia Loren, and Larry pops a boner. And I have to say, for a man of his age, that's a quick rise. That is a quick rise, man. Come on.
I don't know. I'm not. I don't know how it works.
You have a penis, Sean.
Yes, but I don't know how it works for someone that age.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been told that it hasn't happened to me yet, but I've been told that it.
How you said yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it happens to all men. We've got to come to grips with our aging here, Sean. This is a Curb podcast. Okay, so anyway, Larry gets a boner, an accidental erection. Then they have a whole she's horrified, and she explains to him that what she was doing was a concierge service.
Yeah.
Which you'd think Larry would know about. He's a concierge kind of guy. And Larry makes a very interesting metaphor for his dick being like the Titanic. It was going up, but then it's kind of going down. You know, it's like the iceberg. It comes up. I don't really know if I understood it, but I thought it was pretty funny. I like that. And she was great in this scene. She's fantastic. So Larry's now back at the house hanging with Leon.
He just said that the Titanic, he said,
oh,
he said that, I'm trying to explain it to you.
Okay.
But he said the Titanic was an accident. But instead of going down, his penis went up. An accident.
Oh, an accident.
See, it's just like, so the Titanic was an accident, it went down.
Yeah.
But this is an accident, but it went up.
That's like when,
that's what it was.
That's like when Cam Newton thought he was being smart at a press conference, and he said, "The Titanic rolls on." Did you see that last week?
I did not. Okay. I generally, yeah, like... They should not let Cam Newton talk.
He's, yeah, the guy is...
He should never be available to the media.
I know. He's kind of like a 14-year-old. So Larry, let's see. Oh, Larry's hanging out with Leon. They get a text from Ed Begley, which Larry perceives as an accidental text, basically explaining away why he had to run out of the golf game. And then Leon starts a good kind of riff about, like, diarrhea, and people have diarrhea, and then it just cuts. It was a very awkward cut, I have to say that. Very awkward cut there. And it cuts to Larry going out to drive his car. He's going to the banquet that had been mentioned earlier in the show, and it's got a huge dick written on it now. And it made me think of that Netflix show. What's the name of that show? Do you remember?
I have no idea what you're talking
Netflix
about.
Netflix dick pic show. I'm typing this into Google right now. Oh, no. The FBI is going to be all about me now. what is it? Oh, man. Are you kidding me? They're not even... There's a whole American Vandal. Okay. American Vandal. It's a fantastic show on Netflix. And it's like a... a fake documentary about a kid who drew penises on all the cars in the parking lot of his school.
And then
the kids investigate it. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. So he drives to the banquet, and of course, everybody's dressed. The whole cast is there standing, waiting for him. He pulls up right in front of them, including the two women who hate him. Actually three. And because Susie's there, and everyone's dressed up and they see the big dick on the side of his car and they all go in, and Susie just, she expects it. It's Larry. They're on their way in, and Richard Lewis confronts Larry about his quick rise, and he doesn't buy the story. Then he tells Larry, you got a big dick on your car. Larry realizes it's there, and I like that moment where he's like, you know, he appreciates what's going on here, right? Mm-hmm. That's the way to get to Larry. That's the lesson of this show. Beat him at his own game. Don't try to argue with him. Just be him. So now Richard Lewis says he's got another ultimatum, and he chose Andrea too, because she doesn't want him to be around Larry. And while he's saying this, he says, my girlfriend, Andrea, hears him. She runs off. Then Ed Begley comes in. He's with the woman from the plane. They hit it off at baggage claim. I like that line for some reason.
Yeah.
We hit it off at baggage claim. Larry confronts them both. And then he does a nice thing where he eyes them up. I like that. It's old-fashioned kind of...
Because he confronts her about the medical condition.
Yeah, yeah. He's confronting them both, right? Ed Begley about the text and her about the medical condition. And he's eyeing them up. Larry's done this before on the show. I like this. Goes back to Seinfeld, too. Remember, Kramer used to do that.
Yeah.
They retreat away from Larry. Every time someone leaves Larry, they're retreating. I noticed that while doing my notes. Larry walks into the banquet. Funk and Elizabeth Perkins won't talk to him, and he asks for an exemption. She denies. Your exemption is denied.
Yes.
Then all hell breaks loose. Susie tells Larry she knows that the accidental text was on purpose. Then Susie tells Elizabeth about it, who confronts Funk about his text. He can't admit he likes the water, and then Funk just breaks. You know, Funk's been through a lot. You know, Super Little Funk died. His girlfriend doesn't use Brita. It's been a hard season on the Funk Man. And he just goes off, I can't take the water. I don't like the water. It tastes like a, what does he say? It tastes like a turtle shit out of a cow's ass or something like that, right? That's my Funk impersonation. Larry.
That's pretty good.
Lewis and Funk both lost their ladies because of Larry. And Larry doesn't give a fuck. He's hanging out. But what does he have to do? One confrontation is not enough for Larry. He's got to fuck up the whole night. So he's eyeing Ed Begley, and he's eyeing the actress or what they're calling her in the show. She starts drinking all this water, and he's getting, you know, he's just getting pissed off that she's drinking all this water. Then the guy on stage uses Ed Begley's joke. He comes up to Larry and he's like, Larry, you got to give me a joke. He used my joke. Come on. You're so funny. And Larry says, no, I'm off duty. He's off duty. I like that. And then he kind of goes off on them too. A second confrontation with them. Man, Larry.
He's like, yeah, you drank all that water, not one bathroom trip.
No, he's the best, man. Now, the thing I didn't like about this is, again, with the quick cut, Ed Begley's walking towards the camera, they cut. I would have liked to seen him get up on the stage and just kind of bomb. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Like really quick, just bomb and then go to Larry laughing, you know? I would have liked to seen that. It would have put a nice cap to that whole storyline, you know? Mm-hmm. I liked it. But the next one kind of metaphorically does it. So Larry's finally washing his car. Larry sees his neighbor from three doors down. I wonder if that's a reference to the dumb band. And as a joke. And it's his neighbor Dave, and it's Benjamin Koldyke, who has been on a ton of stuff. He's... I looked at his IMDb. I couldn't even pick out one thing, but you've seen him before. He's a very popular comedian, and he's been in a lot of improv stuff before. And he just is like really into cars getting washed. And you immediately know, I mean, this is Curb, that he's the one who's been writing on Larry's car, right?
Yeah.
So didn't you pretty much figure that out as soon as there was another guy standing there?
Yeah, he's like, you know, it's a clean slate, you know what I mean? You know, he just put so much emphasis on cleaning a car. I was like, oh, this is the guy.
Yeah, I like it.
This is the guy. And then but Larry doesn't get it at first.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But then when he's walking away, he has that, oh. Then he looks, he sees the guy. The guy kind of smiles at him.
And he points at him.
Yep.
Smiles and points at Larry. And then Larry, instead of getting mad, smirks at him and points right back.
I love it.
Because it's like, hey, like, because that whole thing is what Larry would have done.
Yes. That's why I love this episode, because I think in a way it's like this episode had a little bit of depth to it, I find. It was funny. I really liked it. Wish that some of the scenes had gone on the improv longer. But it's kind of like the moral of the story is, don't tell Larry to shut up. Just be a better Larry.
Yeah.
You know, beat him at his own game. And this is why I love when him and Susie get together, because she'll just out yell him.
Yeah.
He doesn't even try anymore. You know, right? Like half the time Susie's yelling and he's leaving the room. So I like this episode, man. A lot of good people showed up in it. They brought both of the women guest stars this week, I really thought brought a lot to the show and were really funny. And just, I like this, man. I have to say, when I saw that the episode was 40 minutes, it takes a little bit getting used to. Some of these episodes are literally twice as long as old Curb episodes, man.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of Curb episodes that are 23, 25 minutes long. So when you're hitting 40 minutes on HBO, there's no commercials. You're literally almost doubling the content of what you're shooting, which leads me to believe there's going to be some more seasons of Curb. They're having fun shooting this show, man.
Yeah.
I think he kind of came back with a new attitude and was just like, let's have fun. I actually see it loosening up as the season progresses. And I like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was good. Good episode, man. Anything you want to say, Sean, about it?
I don't know. You think we're going to see some Fat Walk coming up?
Yeah, they got to bring it back. There's got to be something with the Fat Walk, Ted Danson, Cheryl, you know, like they've got to come back around to that. I mean, we're at episode 6. We got 4 episodes left, right?
I think like the next thing we'll hear is like Ted and Cheryl will be engaged or something like that.
Yeah.
And Larry will be like, okay, this has got to stop.
Yeah, something's going to happen. Maybe he'll flip the fatwa and get it to be on Ted.
That would be genius.
That'd be interesting. That'd be good. All right. So another great episode of Curb. I always enjoy talking to you, Sean. This has been a lot of fun. And I'm still trying to get Sean to send me some of his comedy people so I can put it up on the feed.
I will. I've been crazy busy.
Oh, I know. You're just saving lives, man.
Yeah. It's time consuming.
But not when you're off duty.
No. I've been busy.
Been busy.
I've been memorizing my lines for my improv class.
Oh, that's great. You got to do that. That's the thing that sucks about improv. So much preparation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Once again, you can email us at curbyourpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at curbyourpodcast. You can check out DVR Podcast Network at dvrpodcast.com. You can also become a patron. dvrpodcast.com. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's patreon.com/ It's not called backslash anymore, right? DVR. And we got a couple more episodes to go. This was 6. Got 7, 8, 9, 10 of Curb. All right, Sean, why don't you take us out?
All right, Axel. Just wanted to say pretty, pretty, pretty good show.